जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, गोपी चन्न बल्लभा गिरिवर धारी, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी, यशोर नंदन ब्रज जन रंजन, यमुना तीर वनचारी, यमुना तीर वनचारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, जय राधा माधव कुंज बिहारी, ओम विष्णु पार्वहंसा प्री प्रचुतचार्यस्तरस्तमारेषि भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद की निचालीलपविष्टौ विष्णुपरमहंसा प्री प्राचुकाचार्यस्तरस्तमा भक्ति सिद्धांत सरस्वती की जय अनंत कोटि वैष्णविंद की नमाचार्य हरिदास्ता को प्रेम जगहौ श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री द्वैत गिरिधर शिवासी गौर भक्तवृंद श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ राम कन्वर कन गिरि गौरान की मथुर वृंदावन धाम की माया प्रणावती धाम की नू राम नैति धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी की रामनय की तुलसी देवी की ओ ग्लोरी सम डिवोटीज, ग्लोरी सम डिवोटीज, ग्लोरी सम डिवोटीज, ओ ग्लोरी श्री गुरु इन गौरांग परमानंदी Opramanande Hari Hari. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam namaskritya narancaiva narottamam devim sarasvatim vyasam tato jayamadirayi. Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto. And 14, 13. They all start to look the same. Is this no book park? Is it? Is it 13 or 14? 1433, yes, it is a bookmark, sort of. Okay. Ditishtu viditatena. Ditishtu viditatena. Karma vadyena bharata. upasangamya viparshin upasangamya viparshin adho mukya abhyabhasata adho mukya abhyabhasata titishtu vridita tena karma badnena bharata upasangamya viprasim adho mukya abhyabhasata titishtu vridita tena karma vadyena bharata upasangamya viprasim adho mukya abhyabhasata Nitishtu vidita tena karma vadyena bhavati upasangamya viprasi tena upasangamya viprasi Passing and home of Gabia Bastion is to Tabena Mabadina Bata Stupidita tena. Diti, the wife of Kashyapa. But vidita, ashamed, tena, by that karma act of avadyena, faulty Bharata, O son of the Bharata family, upasangamya, going nearer to vipra rishim. the Brahmana sage, Adhamukhi, with her face lowered, Abhyabhasata, politely said. Translation, O son of Bharata family, Diti, after this, went nearer to her husband, her face lowered because of her faulty action. She spoke as follows. Purport. When one is ashamed of an abominable action, one naturally becomes downfaced. Diti came to her senses after the abominable sexual intercourse with her husband. Such sexual intercourse is condemned as prostitution. In other words, sex life with one's wife is equal to prostitution if the regulations are not properly followed. Omagana Timarandasya Gananjana Shaka Chakshun Militam Jaina Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Tapitam Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Gada Mahyam Dadati Supadantika Pandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Parakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sa Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sabadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakam Vitam Sa Hey Krishna Kunasindo Dina Bando Jagatpade Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Vancha Gaupata Rubyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhyavacha Patitanam Pavani Bhyo Vaishnave Bhyo Namo Nama Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadara Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Jatis tu vidita tena karma vadyena bharata upasangamya viprasingha dho mukhyabhya bhasvato. O son of the Bharata family, Jati after this went nearer to her husband, her face lowered because of her faulty action. She spoke as follows. Okay, so this is the ongoing story of Diti. Now she's feeling shameful. So this is something everyone has to feel at one time or another. And sometimes even the greatest devotees, they use these terms of, maybe not for the same reasons, but when Rupa and Sanatana approached Chaitanya Mahaprabhu the first time, they also had this, use this word, we feel shameful, we've been engaged in so many abominable activities. They were engaged as, not as prostitutes, but they felt themselves very lowly. So the devotee feels very humble. One feels very humble. So she's having this, of course, the strong part of this is the purport. This is the Prabhupada's master of heaviness, shall we say. And so he shows himself to be very heavy. If you, of course, do a study of Prabhupada using this word prostitution, he's very much, he just like, he was on a morning walk many times, but specifically, he would say, talking about Indira Gandhi, during Indira Gandhi's reign of terror, and Prabhupada was very much did not like Indira Gandhi. So, he said, no, she is not a leader, she's a prostitute. That's all. So, finished. Nothing. So one devotee said, Prabhupada, who is the husband? Some man in the government, some congressman, or the Indian? He said, no, no, she's simply, her husband died long back. Now she's just a prostitute, she, like that. So, Prabhupada also said, if there was one actually strong leader in India, then she would be something, blank, blank, blank. I don't want to say, but yeah. She would be kicked out, basically. So he didn't have kind words for her like that. And in many instances, he would use this as a synonym. In fact, and when I was reading recently, I saw that Prabhupada said many times, especially in one conversation, how the sannyasis, the brahmacharis were so important, and he kept saying, for karmis, they can have sex life. He wasn't even saying grahastas. He was almost using karmi and grahasta as like synonymous, interchangeably. Raga, Griham, Griham. There's a verse by Lord Brahma at the end of his prayers that one is shackled by his material desires. Therefore, his Griham, Griham. His Griha is just like a prison where he's nigado, angry. His angry, his feet are shackled by so many material desires. As long as Krishna nate jana, as long as one is not Krishna conscious. Of course, in the village of Vrindavan, then it's explained by acharyas, they seem to be doing ordinary village work, grihastha work, but actually they're always Krishna conscious. But if one is not Krishna conscious, then there's a zero in his front of his grihastha life. And many times Prabhupada would utter certain things like, of course, well, many of us have to raise our hand, we're guilty, but that after 50, panchas ordvam banam brajet. After 50, then one should take vanaprastha to head for the forest. And nowadays, people are not doing so much. Well, they are doing, but we don't see it too much. But not many forests. If you go to the forest, you might get shot down, just like Prabhupada was walking in India, in Vrindavan, and it happened more than one time. So some grihastha's local village, you know, he's just walking, but across somebody's land, they'll come out and offer something, water, and bow down. You know. So Prabhupada said, just see how humble they're still Krishna conscious, although so India is so fallen, but still these common men are so conscious. They see some sadhu, they bow down. But if I was walking on someone's land, some forest or some land in the United States, I would have been shot down. So it's very difficult to. But I'm gato yadarim. Ashrayata, Prahlad Maharaj told his daddy, Suravarja Dehinam, who is considered the greatest demon, he asked him, his father asked him, so what did you learn, Prahlad? You learned so many nice things in the Gurukul, in the school. Actually, he's supposed to, but he was learning some weird stuff about diplomacy and enemies and like this. So Prahlad Maharaj was not very happy with it. He said, no, I didn't really learn too much in there, but one thing I understand is that you're the greatest demon and you should take hitvatma patam grihandakupam. You should get out of this andakupa. He wasn't afraid, although his father was a huge demon. He was his son, after all, sitting on his lap. He said, no, I didn't learn so many things from Sanda and Amarka. But I learned that, he learned from Narad Muni, actually. Grihandakupam, you're living in a dark well with no water, near jal. If you fall in a well with water, at least you might drink something before you die. But even Raghunath Das, he described his situation in some of his prayers like that. Near Jala, there's a dry well, you fall in it, you're finished. And so this is the material world. Everyone is in this well, men, women. So very strong, Prabhupada uses the word prostitute, more than maybe average so-called mundane guru would use. He's meant for cutting. Santa evash, chindanti, chindanti kovidasta. That the sadhus, bidyate hridaya grantis, they're meant for cutting the knot in the heart. This is in the first canto. Bidyate hridaya grantis, chidyanti sarasankshaya. The Bhagavatam is meant for that. Nirmat saranam satam. It says in the beginning, it's meant for the Paramahansa. So it's a crash course in Paramahansa. It's a crash course that where new bhakta, you know, what don't even know what is a Paramahansa. You're reading it, oh, Paramahansa. It's four levels of sannyas. First, you have to get out of brahmachari life and get married or whatever, graduate, and ultimately become sannyas, kutichak, bahudak, like that. There's four levels even of vanaprastha, four levels of sannyas, then Paramahansa. But here, Bhagavatam, in the beginning, dharma projita kaita vota paramo nirmatsananam. You're meant for being non-envious Paramahansa. Wow, maybe. So you keep reading it. Well, so you hear about the Paramahansas. And you aspire for that. So similarly, we hear what Prabhupada says, even in this purport, any purport. He's Paramahansa, so he's giving the Paramahansa view of the world, not our mundane, silly, stupid view. So if you read these strong words, it's meant for that. Tata Paramahansa Nam Muninam Amalatmanam Bhakti Yoga Vedana Artam Kasham. Even Kunti Devi, she's praying, I am a poor woman, and what I can understand. Even the great Munis, they cannot. Kaviopi, he, the Kavis, after long trying, Bhishma Dev says, they're trying to understand Krishna's plan, but even they are bewildered. So, what to speak of us? Even the demigods are bewildered, described even in the beginning of the Bhagavatam. Demigods are bewildered. Brahma, Shiva. Sometimes Shiva was bewildered by Mohini. When Mohini first came to bewilder Sura Dvisha, the envious asuras, they were fighting with the demigod Devas over this pot of nectar. And so Dhanvantri appeared. And so when they're fighting, then suddenly this beautiful woman appeared in the middle of them. Wow. So the Devas, everybody was looking, but especially the asuras became so. But even the asuras in the Bhagavatam, they have some etiquette. They say, oh, you look like an unmarried woman. You're very beautiful. We never saw anything like this. You can marry. Can we marry you? They weren't. They were so amongst themselves, they were all fighting for this nectar of immortality. They said, look, we're fighting, but this Mohini was so beautiful, being exactly, definitely Krishna, 100% incarnation, mentioned in the third chapter of the Gita of Bhagavatam. So just by her existence, she's so bewildering and so beautiful. They say, look, you know, we trust you. You distribute this nectar, because we're demons. They said, you know, we're fighting over it, but you're so perfect and beautiful. We think that you'll be able to. They had no idea. Oh, she just appeared. This is suspicious. This could be Krishna. They weren't thinking like that. They were thinking. And she said immediately to them, katam kasyapa dayada. Kasyapa, they're all relatives of Kasyapa. And so why do you trust me? Svarinanam pumschalyam. She described herself, I'm a prostitute. You trust a prostitute? But they were so besot, what's the word? So bewildered, moho, that they couldn't say anything. No. She said that a wise man does not trust a woman, or what to speak, a prostitute like that. So, okay. She told them directly, I'm bewildering you, but they couldn't do anything. They were completely mesmerized. So, what did she do? She gave the nectar to the Devas. She said, okay, you guys, little nice little boys, sit down here. It's the eighth canto. Sit down and I will distribute. So they said, okay. But she gave all the nectar to the Devas. Okay, you guys. So they were so bewildered they couldn't do anything. But she told them, pumschalyam. So there's different words, not used here. It's just, we don't see that word but in this verse, but we see Prabhupada's purport. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also used this word, heavy duty, just like Balabhabhat was a great, great scholar with many followers. But when he came to, where was it, Prague? He lived near Prague. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to his house for some dinner, and he met him in Vrindavan, and he was so attracted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He was a great acharya himself. So he was thinking, oh, this Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So he went to Puri to meet with Lord Chaitanya. So when he came there, he started, because he had followers and he was very intelligent, he was writing so many commentaries. So he told, in the assembly of Lord Chaitanya, he said, I have written such a great commentary. This Sridhar Swami, he's outdated. He wrote some few hundred years before that. His commentary is no big thing. Now, I have replaced it. So what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? He said, well, Swami Namanile Besha Goyin. Anyone who doesn't accept Swami, meaning Sridhar Swami, the great commentator, still accepted by Lord Chaitanya, accepted by us till today, we're reading. Jiva Goswami, he quotes Sridhar Swami's commentaries more than anyone else, basically. And what does Prabhupada say about Jiva Goswami? The greatest scholar. Of course, he said his Guru Maharaj, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, was the greatest scholar since Jiva Goswami. So, but, therefore, Chaitanya was said, one who doesn't accept the Swami, it was his joking, very cutting statement, I consider a prostitute all. Imagine you calling Balabhabhat, this great big acharya. You say, wow. You know, previously was thinking, I was with Lord Chaitanya in Prague, and he was giving me so much good association. We were good friends. Now he's calling me a prostitute. He was very upset. He couldn't get anybody to hear his commentary. He went to different associates of Lord Chaitanya. Lord Chaitanya said, I don't want to see his commentary. Nobody would, therefore nobody cared for it. But because Gadadhar Pandit, he's none other than Radharani, very soft-hearted. And so when that Balabhabhat went to him and said, oh, you know, hear my commentary. He was so much convinced, even though he was rejected and rejected. So Gadadhar Pandit was thinking, I don't want to hear this guy's commentary. But because he forcefully sat there and spoke his commentary for so many days, reading and reading, and Gadadhar Pandit heard it, and he thought, oh, this guy is simply puffed up. But so humble, he listened to it. And he thought, well, I know I'll be criticized, but Mahaprabhu's associates, they're very critical. So we always hear, don't be critical, but there, Kaviraj Goswami says that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's associates are very critical. Very critical, especially something like Balabhabhat. So they rejected. He was like a duck among swans or something like that. So, but he said, but Mahaprabhu knows my heart. He knows that he forcefully read it, so he won't be critical. So anyway, he read it. So this term prostitute is used this way. You know that Thakur Haridas, one lady, very beautiful prostitute, this Ramchandra Khan was such a demoniac fool, and he hired he got a hold of all the beautiful prostitutes in the area where Haridas Thakur was staying, because he was so envious that Haridas Thakur, Muslim, he's given so much respect. What is this nonsense? So he said, he'll fall down, I'll find some beautiful prostitute. Now, the prostitute stayed there. At his doorway, she came so beautiful that even Lord Brahma would be bewildered. You know, it's described that she was making so many gestures and like that. And Haridas Thakur simply, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So even that prostitute came, she could not. He said, oh, no, okay. She said, Haridas, you are so beautiful and handsome. I want to enjoy with you. What? Please, please. She's begging him. And she's so beautiful. He said, that's all right, but you sit there. I'm simply chanting. I took a vow to chant. So if one takes a vow like Haridas Thakur to chant 333,000 names a day, after 1 month, Prabhupada says you will chant 1 billion names, 10 million names, not 1 billion, 10 million names. So I've taken this vow, but I haven't finished yet. I'm just about to finish. Just sit there, and then I'm almost finished. And the prostitute was sitting there, listening to Haridas. I'm sorry. It was already getting light. I said, I didn't. Tomorrow maybe I can enjoy. I will definitely enjoy with you. But that went on for 3 days. Finally, after the Haridas Thakur speaking so beautifully, just by his association, upa sang gamya. This word upa means to go near, like we have the Upanishads, to go, brings you closer to Isha. Isha means Krishna. So all different, Isha Upanishad, it brings us closer. Anyway, she went closer to her husband, feeling shame. So Rupa and Sanatan, they also felt shame. Parihari laje me. They say, kim brume purushottama. We don't know what to say to you. We feel so humble and ashamed that we're working for the Muslims. Just imagine. But Sanatan and Rupa, they couldn't help it, but they had to. They were taken, conscripted, because they were such brilliant geniuses that this... Hussein, what's his name? Nawab Hussein, whatever, big Muslim emperor. He said he always wanted to find the best of the. So people said, well, these two brothers, these three brothers, there was Anupama also. They said, they are very intelligent geniuses. You put them to work,
So they had to work for the Muslim king. Therefore, they were rejected by the Brahmanas. Although they were a very great Brahmin family, but they were taken like that. But so they were feeling very ashamed, very humble. And this mood is also shown by, there's a story, I think, where is it, ninth canto, when Tara, she was kidnapped by Soma. And still, she was accepted in the end, but this word is used, Vridita. She was feeling very embarrassed because she was supposed to be the wife of Brihaspati, isn't it, Brihaspati? But she was taken away, and forcefully, she liked Soma. Soma was a very puffed up guy, you know. He's the moon god, but he became very powerful putting Ashwamedha yagyas like that, Rajasuya yagyas. So he thought he could do anything, so he kidnapped Brihaspati's wife, and Brihaspati, of course, he cursed his wife. Well, he said, look, you rascal, prostitute, you got pregnant by Soma, you're my wife, you know. So he could have done anything to, but she begged, no, please, forgive me. So she also took this attitude, very humble. But he took the child, and there was some fighting over this child also. So this is going on even in the Bhagavatam. These two, Nalakovera, Manigriva, we hear about them, that they were shameless. But the girls, they were enjoying with some girls in the celestial Ganga, or in the Ganga full of lotus flowers. Imagine, very beautiful place. And intoxicated, eyes rolling. There's a long chapter all about, Prabhupada talks about, becomes too puffed up. There's so many verses. Bhogaishraya prashaktana, taya prita chetasa. So one loses his determination. Though they were sons of Kuvera, they could enjoy anywhere, even in Lord Shiva's garden. So they were in his lake. So they're enjoying like anything. Even when Narad Muni came, a great sadhu, one should be embarrassed. Just like when Prabhupada used to come, may have done something, felt some mundane desire, but that would disappear, because these pop is described there by Narottam in his song. That pop, how does that, dure, jai, the sinful desires go away when you are in the association, upasanga, of a great personality. So we get the association here. In the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada's purports. We not necessarily have to be with Prabhupada, although that was very nice, very ecstatic times that Prabhupada would come and sins would fly away. And Vaikuntha, Vishram Purnushukayate. So Prabodhananda Saraswati also has a chapter in his Chandramrita where he's describing this humility. Several verses were samsara dukkha jalado patitasya kama krodari nakamakarai kavali kritasya, where he says, I'm suffering in this samsara dukkha jalado, in this ocean jalado patitasya kama. What is he suffering? Kama krodari nakamakarai. And he describes that this kama and krodh, anger and lust, are just like crocodiles, sharks devouring me, taking mouthfuls, eating me over and over. Arr! Therefore, he takes shelter of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. I have no other friend. He's feeling this embarrassment. Duskarma koti niratasya. I'm always engaged in. So, Prabodhananda Saraswati is actually manifestation of Tunga Vidya Gopi. There's no question of his. But in this material world, then, they're showing this great example, giving us great, beautiful poetry about Lord Chaitanya, very descriptive. When he thinks of this, he becomes purified. So she's also trying to get purified, considering her husband superior, upasanga, like guru, you're my guru. So a woman described by Chanakya Pandit, we've been hearing different shlokas of Chanakya Pandit, Prabhupada is very fond, because they're applicable in different places. Pativratam. What does it say? Rupam, svairi rupam pati vratam. A woman, when she has her husband, just like Sita, she's emblem of this also chastity. So similarly, this ditti, she's also praised like that. Any chaste women, Prabhupada mentioned so many, five especially chaste women, Gandhari, she put on her cloth over her eyes so she would be very equal to her husband, Dhritarashtra, who could not see from birth. He was not only blind materially, but spiritually. We read Mahabharata, you see how it plays out, even in the Bhagavatam. So also, Pativratam, the woman who's taken the vow to her husband. There's another, the Tapasvinam, Kshama Rupa Tapasvinam. It says Kshama Rupa, that's the final, I think, when it says Kurupanam, also Vidya Rupam Kurupanam. One whose body might be ugly, somehow deformed, who knows. Vidya, if he has Vidya, Vidya Bhagavata Avadi. Bhagavatam is the unlimited ocean of knowledge. So someone who might be ugly, if he is very learned, very knowledge, then that's ignored. Dishtaisa Bhava Janata Rabash. Rupa Goswami gives that in his Upadeshamrita. One should ignore. One is very, very learned. One doesn't mind his, if someone is ugly. What does that matter? We go to hear from the sadhu. Here, Prabhupada said, he was giving some, talking in some conversation, Prabhupada was saying, rascals, hear while you're speaking. Nonsense. They're all speaking so much. Chopagaya turagayagata. What is it? Jivasati. Jiva means the tongue. It's asati, unchaste. Just like we're hearing about sati. Maybe we are not hearing right now about sati. So we have this word sati means very chaste because she didn't do anything wrong except her father was such a rascal. She, by her yogic power, she burst into flames. Sometimes people do that. Gee, I don't feel too good today. I think I'll burst into flames. But don't try that at home. So jivasati, Sukadeva is saying in the second canon, jivasati dadara gave us this croaking of frogs. So Prabhupada's saying, quiet, simply hear. Shutvani ba. There's so many verses. Shinvatam Swakata Krishna. Of course, one should speak if he's knowledgeable, Krishna conscious, he knows something. But otherwise, be quiet. They're simply talking. All these rascals saying so many things. All, Prabhupada said, great story where that great Hindu Sarja Whitlaw in Bombay, he had declared that this bhakti, he had met so many swamis, of course, if you are a wealthy person in India, generally you meet so many sadhus, they come to you for donation. So he said, there's so many swamis, but Bhaktivedanta Swami has put them all on the black list. Of course, in Hindi, it's much more catchy. Someone who knows can find it, but I don't know. Prabhupada was chuckling. He said, yes, he has understood. He said, yes, he has understood. And so people would sometimes complain, Prabhupada, you're speaking so strongly, Prabhupada. Talking about Ramakrishna. In Bengal, if you talk bad on Ramakrishna and Vivekananda, you'll risk your life. Even Prabhupada was a little careful sometimes. Ramakrishna, Vivekananda, Yato Matatopat, all of Bengal gone to hell because of these rascals. And all Bengalis are worshipping most, not all, many. Prabhupada said simply, this Gadadhar Chatterjee, that was Ramakrishna's name. He probably didn't call him Ramakrishna, he called him Gadadhar Chatterjee. How he wanted to, finally he was trying to do so many stupid things, he wanted to kill cows. I don't know if he ever did it. Did he do it? He didn't do it. Anyway, he was staying in one temple by the Ganga in Calcutta and doing so many weird things, you know, practicing like a Muslim, practicing this. Then he said, oh, I will practice like a Muslim. What do you think? I will eat cow meat. So that Mahant in the temple said, okay, get out of here now, you rascal. You cannot do that here. Just go away. So, but Prabhupada was setting very high standard, just like his Guru Maharaj. Sachisuta Priyati, very dear to Sachisuta, Lord Chaitanya. So they speak very strongly with chopping, chopping here and there, cutting. So here is cutting, Prabhupada's cutting. You have some material desire, Prabhupada guaranteed to cut them down. condemned as prostitution. In other words, sex life with the wife is equal to prostitution if the regulations are not properly followed. Especially Abhiram was very, Prabhupada liked him very much. But he was, had to do business like many householders, but because Abhiram was nearby, so Prabhupada told Tamal Krishna TKG, he said, you know, Abhiram, he's getting too independent. He's going to fall in the Maya. You're going to do something. He should move back in the temple. And Tamal, anyone who knew TKG, he said, but Prabhupada, householders can't live in the temple. They have sex like that. He's telling Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, yeah, householders always have sex. So Prabhupada is very realistic also. But here, this is this, you know, you hear Prabhupada is sometimes like Vaidurya stone. You can see from so many angles. But here is the very cutting angle. Okay, is any commentaries here?
Hare Krishna, thank you. Just wondering, this feeling of, I guess not even just shame, but just that feeling that comes after, like if I realize, okay, I just did something, it's not really going to help me in my Krishna consciousness. I wasn't thinking of Krishna. I have a long way to go still. So, but then the feeling, it comes, and I feel very humble, but then it goes away. I get back on my pedestal. So how to kind of keep that?
Chaitra Dharpa in the margin. Kirtaniya Sadahari. Probably gives a prescription, actually. That Chaitra Dharpa in the margin. Many prescription. Vikriditam Vraja, one time, many times, he said, Vikriditam Vraja Vidu Biri Damcha Vishnu. Bhaktim param bhagavati pati labhya kama roga kama asvahapanoti dhira, that this prescription that one should hear the activities of Radha Krishna and the gopis, of Krishna and the gopis, but one has to do it in such a way also, not on his own whim. But the prescription says there in the last part of the verse that Hrida Roga Kama, the lust is a disease of the heart. Hrid in the heart, Roga, disease, Kam, lust, the disease in the heart. And that will be extinguished gradually. Now, of course, we have examples during Prabhupada's time when some devotees, and Prabhupada made an example of them, they had met just to discuss only the gopis and Krishna. Paranjan was in charge. He speaks against it like anything now, but at least he's still chanting, hopefully. But so they had a group, maybe 10, 12, and then Prabhupada came, the famous thing, and he was declaring, Deha Smriti Nahi Jara Samsar Bandhan Kantar. They are not qualified to only speak of gopi. They can, that's okay. But they said to Prabhupada, you know, it says in that verse, they pointed out that very verse, Hrida Roga Kama, one is, becomes dhira, undisturbed by doing. He said, yes, but they become putrefied. Prabhupada was told different things that they were doing, which they weren't really doing. We don't want to say who did it. Begins with a T. But that's another thing. But it was a setup, Krishna's arrangement. So he was harping on this. For a week in L.A. in 76, I guess it was 76. Yeah. Actually, I was on the morning walk that time in Santa Monica, and again it came, Prabhupada said, Deha Smriti Nahi Jara Samsar Bandhan. This refers to the gopis. Deha Smriti Nahi Jara means Deha, remembering your body, no. If you're on this level absorbed in gopi bhava, that means you shouldn't have any memory of your body. So that's a pretty high bar right there. Okay, you want to study that? Although it says right there, study it, okay, but if you don't have the prescription from the doctor, from Prabhupada, the doctor, how to do it, then, you know, you can take any medicine. You go into the pharmacy and say, hey, I'm sick. Oh, yeah, I'll give you something there. 25 pounds of, morphine. Drink this. You'll be okay. It may not work. So, therefore, Prabhupada is quoting that Deha Smriti is also given by Narottam. But Deha Smriti Nahija Samsar Bandhan. Then your Samsar Bandhan, your bondage to this material world is finished. But so, anyway, Prabhupada was like, just like when, hey, Prabhupada, we did 500 books. Okay, do 1,000 tomorrow. Like that, setting the high bar. Double it. I'm sure Mahotsaha, sometime he did what? How many books in a day? 1,400, 1,000? 1,600. If slow. That was the slowest day in about 5 years. He did 500 books. So if he went to Prabhupada and said, oh, he wouldn't do that because he's too advanced. But someone might say, Prabhupada, Mahotsaha did 20 million books. And Prabhupada would sit with a little half, quarter, tenth of a smile and say, so you can do 200 million tomorrow. In other words, don't be satisfied. Kastripniya tirtipadobidana satreshu vasurvi jamana. Who could be satisfied by hearing about Krishna or distributing? No, there's no satisfaction. In other words, in the material world, people are not satisfied because there's no pleasure in it. And like Matir Nikrishne, but chewing the chewed, all these verses that we hear. But spiritually, yeah, we're not satisfied, but that's more rewarding. We never tire of hearing. Rupa Goswami wants thousands of years, millions of mouths. Speak. What can we speak with one mouth? Small mouth. I think it's Vishwanath Chakravarti. He gives the example that although I'm speaking this and I'm dealing with jewels, Prangavinda knows all about jewels, but still, I don't know really about jewels. I'm giving you these jewels. He gave so many jewels, Vishwanath. But he said, I'm speaking so much, but I have a very small mouth. I'm speaking big topics. So he's very humble. I'm speaking big topics. So even if we're speaking some big topic or anything, but one shouldn't speak above his pay grade either. That's why no one can speak like Prabhupada. I mean, maybe Gaur Govinda. If you watch some of his classes on Brahmachari, and it's like, wow, it shatters your heart. You know, I'm not going to say nobody, but he was speaking so heavy. I could tell one funny pastime. It's not funny, but so when Gaur Govinda first joined, he wasn't even initiated in 75. After Prabhupada would speak in the morning in Mayapur, hardly anyone remembers this somehow. Well, hardly anyone was there or still alive who was Western, who spoke English. Anyway, but so after Prabhupada gave the class in the Bhagavatam, this was after the festival. I mean, after Gopurni. So it weren't that many people around. So there were a lot of Bengalis. So Prabhupada would have Gaur Govinda get up and say the whole thing again in Bengali, in Hindi. And even though all Bengalis didn't even know Hindi. And Prabhupada was like napping, you know. Because he was up all night translating, he was sitting on the Vyasa. Of course, he's hearing it, but he was resting. So then Jai Pataka would have to stand up. This went on for about a week until Prabhupada left town, I guess. And then Jai Pataka had to get up and speak it in Bengali. So we never tire, just like Prabhupada talked about the Bengali boys. He said, you may say they don't know English. Why are they here, you know, listening to this class? Prabhupada would create a straw man. You know, there wasn't even anybody there questioning it. But still, Prabhupada would say, someone may say, these Bengali boys, there were some Gurukuli boys in those days, 10, 15. No, they're hearing the transcendental sound. Like that.
So, you know, sometimes the words can seem very harsh, you know, towards women. I mean, there's the book Bhagavat, and then there's a person Bhagavat. So I think it's equally important to study both, you know. So Prabhupada, by his actions, he showed in so many words his love and concern for women. Like there's a story about Malati when she cooked for Prabhupada, and some of the God brothers were there. You know that story.
She would slit her throat for me.
Yeah, and he said.
And I would
do the same for her, which is pretty amazing.
Dramatic.
Yeah, in front of all the God brothers. And also, he was very concerned about women being protected. When I was in India in 1976, and all the women were on a bus tour, and the bus broke down on the way back to the temple, and it took a while to get it fixed. But when we finally returned, we heard that Prabhupada had stayed up, and he was very concerned about the women, that they were out. It was night, and he was very concerned about their protection. And he actually said that he was worried that when he was gone, he had tears in his eyes, and he was worried that the women would not be protected when he was gone. So it seems like this idea of a woman also, you know, acting properly, along with that comes this idea of protection and love from the husband, from the community, that gives her that,
Actually, I read this conversation also this morning. I think did I read it to you? Yeah, but so Prabhupada was saying how in the modern Kali Yuga they want to give the women liberation because actually the woman is always slave, he said. She should be slave of one husband, just like this Kashyapa Muni and his wife. Otherwise, they want to create so she's slave of everyone. So Prabhupada said, what is better, be slave of one man or everyone? Anyways, so Prabhupada had a heavy edge. So sometimes they'll use the word slave, you know, just, he's dramatic, you know. It's not like a slave where you have a chain, you know, on your neck, a big thing like that. But dog, Prabhupada said, we are all dog of the Acharya. Vaishnava Thakur, Tomara Kukur. Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying he's a dog. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, greatest Acharya, and he's calling himself a dog. Kaviraj Goswami is calling himself worm and stool. I am lower than the Kita. What is it? What's that verse? Kita? Purishya Kita hoite muise papishta. I am more sinful than Jagai Madai. I am lower than the worm in the stool. So this is not just reserved for Ditti. This is for everyone, this lesson. Raghunath Das was saying, I'm simply like a prostitute. He was putting big feast on in Puri because his father was so rich, his uncle, and he escaped. So they came there, look, does anyone know Raghunath? And so the people said, Raghunath, he's the greatest sadhu. Why are you asking about him? Oh, they didn't know. So because then they started sending money. He was making feasts. Still, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking the feast every, 11 days, every 2 weeks. There was big feast. He had so much money, he didn't know what to do. He's a sadhu. Gramya Kata Nushinbi, don't dress. He's not dressing nicely. He's getting all these rupees, taka. So what is he going to do? He makes feasts for Lord Chaitanya. Now, if he was a materialist, Lord Chaitanya wouldn't have even gone to his feast. Still, he was going. And all the big swamis, Lord Chaitanya's gurus, you can say. But so after some time, after 2 years, I think he was doing for 2 years, was it? Making big feasts. Yeah, 2 years. Still, Lord Chaitanya was taking. And then after a while, he said to Govinda, was it Govinda or Swarup Dhamma? He said, I don't know, we're not making big feast anymore. You think Lord Chaitanya cares about, he can take feast every minute of the day, of course, but he was still. He said, no, he's now begging. He thought he's standing there, you know, like he's taking big feast for, so therefore he's just begging now, like that. He's taking remnants of Jagannath Prasad. People walk by, they give him something. And then Mahaprabhu would see him sometimes. Then after a while, he didn't see him. Oh, where is he? After a while, he was simply taking the rotten rice that cows would not eat. Just imagine. Sometimes, you know, you find some rotten food and it stinks. And he was eating that. He washed it off. Put some salt. And Lord Chaitanya said, oh, he ran there as fast as he could with Govinda chasing behind. He said, Raghunath, Every day you're eating feast like this and you don't invite me anymore? What's going on? And he grabbed, forcefully he grabbed that rotten rice. No, no, don't take that rotten food. What do you say, rotten? He said, I know you're eating in the temple, your juggernaut, and you're eating 52 times a day. Why you take that? Don't take that. He said, no, this is greater than all the offerings in the juggernaut temple. But he was considering that he was a prostitute because he was begging from people, I'm just like a prostitute. So this terminology is used extensively.
So like you said, Prabhupada is very strong in using this term prostitution. So young married women reading this together, I would be inclined to suggest that at least regulate, and that's when you can, how you can come to the highest standard in time.
An early story with Hayagriva, and Prabhupada was describing that householders only have, you know, some limited sex. I mean, this is like 66, and once a month, and then woman's pregnant, no sex. And so Hayagriva said, whoa, Prabhupada, better not to get married. Prabhupada said, yes, better not to. Now you understand.
So and what I'm asking is, then, even though Prabhupada's saying this, and we're here sitting, reading this together, is it normal or natural that I would consider time and circumstance and adjust what Prabhupada just said?
No.
Or
so.
Put it, how would you put it in the...
Well, I'm Prabhupada not putting it anyway. I'm just reading it from here.
So, so we do.
Yeah,
we
I mean,
do
he
utilize.
Knows that she's going to give birth to these really bad dudes also.
Understandable. This is, yeah, an extreme.
Because he's a progenitor.
Situation.
So he's saying, you know, you better not do this. But many times Prabhupada will say, but, you know, even though they all knew, but it's Krishna's Leela, they have to do it. There's several places. I just read it today. Yesterday.
But even today, it's yeah. It can, it's actually an achievement to be faithful to one spouse. So, you know, that's, I would suggest that. But who am I? You know, to
I mean,
at
you
least
can't,
regulate.
You can't pack in everything Prabhupada said in one purport. You know, you got to read them all. Don't take, can't take things out of context. But here it is, and then you know. Here it says, but Prabhupada said, always find a lesson, right? Now she's conscious of her offense. So this is the lesson. Now she's, the next thing, so she's conscious of her offense. She was anxious to be excused by Lord Shiva. So just like Rupa and Sanatana, they were also feeling, or even them, even Bhaktivinoda, but they, so they're feeling like that. Amara jivana sada papirata. Bhaktivinoda saying, I'm always sinful. It's my life. Okay, what's that? Okay, stay there.
Can I talk now?
All right. We've been waiting for 3 weeks.
Me too. I share your you know.
You heard what Prabhupada said. Just hear, don't speak, rascals. Now you're not following.
Well, now that I've heard, I'm like so full of enlightenment, I can't contain myself. I'm just a fool. But this context always, and that's part of what we do when we preach, is we apply the philosophy to the context. And there's a positive example, and then there's a negative. There's a carrot and a stick. If you keep saying, don't be this, don't be this, don't be this, it's like you're driving. Don't hit the tree. You don't hit the tree, and you're thinking about the tree, and then you hit the tree, you know? So I think part of the whole prostitute thing is, and anybody can do it, I mean, there's non-heterosexual prostitutes too, you know? But is when you use that passionate activity to manipulate, because that's what prostitutes do. They just engage in a certain activity to get a monetary exchange. So when you're just doing that for like business or even, you know, we're trying to avoid that, you know. Whereas to be faithful to the spiritual master, faithful to your dopey husband or whatever, or a spouse.
We have the example of Pingala. and Kubja. So Pingala, she's an example that she was literally a prostitute, but she could not get any customers. Krishna's giving it directly in 11
canto. Well, Krishna helped her get customers, so go figure that one out.
She didn't get. So when she gave it up, she said, Asha hi paramam dukam. These desires, asha, they lead to the greatest misery. But nairasya,
of course.
When you don't have any desire, paramam sukam, then you get the greatest.
Yeah, but to get to that point, he made her a beautiful woman. And then he went and visited her at her place of business.
Pingala, but Kubja, yeah.
Kubja, I'm talking her.
It was different. She didn't speak that.
The point is, we want to be chaste, and we want all of us, and we want to do it for bhakti principles. This pleases the spiritual master.
Prabhupada was speaking heavily, just like sometimes.
But he could speak heavily.
Speak like that. He would say that.
Nobody's saying he couldn't speak heavily. We just heard a whole class about that.
I know, but he would tell devotees.
Yeah.
The example is when Kiri Raja and Shudakirti went to see the Indian ambassadors, and he was speaking very heavy with them in Hindi, and they said, "Oh, Prabhupada, you really spoke heavy with." Yeah, I can do that. You can't do that. So, I can't do it either. But so you have to know. Yeah, Prabhupada could get away with it. He said they don't take it seriously. Prabhupada would say they don't take it seriously means that they're not gonna get that mad at him because he's an old sadhu, a Bengali sadhu. We're just a young punk guy, 20 years old. Well, maybe 78 years old. Okay, more hands up. Okay, hands down. Hare Krishna.